We're going to switch agencies now, and our next speaker is going to come from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and his name is Peter Gillitzer. That's who he is. He's going to talk about an assessment tool for the Minnesota Agricultural Water Quality Certification Program. So we're going to be really looking more now at a volunteer opportunity for farmers and agricultural landowners to sort of voluntarily take the lead and do some things that they can get certified for. So, Peter, I will turn it over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Don, and thanks to the Tri-Societies for giving us the opportunity to brag about all the good work we're doing in Minnesota. Shannon and Steve did a great job sort of presenting the overarching picture of what we're doing with water quality in Minnesota. I'm going to zoom down to one particular program, which is the Ag Water Quality Certification Program, and then within that talk a little bit about the assessment tool, sort of lessons learned of running this program with a risk index tool at the center of it. So brief outline, we'll talk about certification as a whole, sort of as a novel approach of what we're trying in Minnesota to deal with agriculture and water quality issues, how we use this assessment tool, how we use this risk index tool to sort of achieve that, and then sort of lessons learned from rolling this out. A brief overview on certification for those of you who are new to it. It is a federal-state partnership that offers producers sort of recognition, dedicated financial assistance, regulatory certainty for voluntarily implementing water quality practices on their operations. So producers go through a whole farm planning exercise with a trained conservation professional. They identify problems, if there are any, they fix those, and then there is a series of carrots to reward them. It's run by the Department of Ag, but also includes the other agencies in Minnesota that deal with water quality, so Department of Natural Resources, Pollution Control, and the Board of Water and Soil Resources. We also have other partners, and hopefully this list is growing, but partnered with NRCS, so I mentioned we offer dedicated financial assistance, so we have the EQIP program, Farm Bill program. We have a pot of money sort of earmarked for producers working with this program. We also have buy-in from the private industry to various degrees. So we're working with Golden Plump Companies. It's a large chicken processor and grower in Minnesota. Also Third Street Brew House, who is obviously concerned about water quality, as it's 95% of their product. And so we're trying to get this coalition together to help incentivize producers to go through this program, to recognize producers who have done good work in water quality. The regulatory certainty piece, that's what sort of makes us interested, or the approach is a bit different in the sense that if you go through and you get certified, you go through the assessment process, you go through sort of the field verification, you work with the trained certifier, and you get certified, we're offering 10 years of regulatory certainty. So any new sort of water quality rule or regulation from the state level, that producer would be deemed in compliance for the period of certification. That approach has been obviously given us greater sort of scrutiny because of the policy implications, but I think it's also communicated to producers that the state of Minnesota is serious about water quality and the need for producers at the local level to identify and find solutions. Okay, so the assessment tool, as I mentioned, is one of three steps in the certification process. The first thing we do is we look at compliance with existing water quality regulations. So we have existing shoreland buffer rules. We have existing rules regarding feedlots, about regarding disposal of pesticides containers, about wetland protection. Those rules are enforced at different levels, so not a lot of producers may be aware of some of those, or depending upon their local governance, they may not be enforced. So it's an opportunity to, in a non-sort of regulatory way, to say, are you aware of these laws and regulations, and how can we help you get up to speed with existing rules and regs? Then we go through the risk assessment tool, which I'll talk more about, and then we do a field verification. So all of those three processes together constitute this whole farm planning exercise. And it's a three-legged stool. None of them are stand independently. Our licensed certifiers, like a lot of our programs, are on the backs of local government. So Soil and Water Conservation District staff are the conservation professional that works with the producer. The assessment tool is also a unique approach. It's a unitless index on a scale from 1 to 10. It was adopted from the NRCS Water Quality Index. And so what it does is take all these sort of complex factors that would impact water quality and tries to put them into a number on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being less risky practices and 1 being more risky practices. It's completed on every field and every major cropping scenario, so it is sort of a planning exercise. We go through all of the fields in an operation that chooses to be certified, and we look ahead to all those major cropping scenarios. The assessment tool, it looks at 16 different factors. So it's looking at physical factors, so slope, organic matter, rainfall, what's on the landscape when that rainfall is occurring, erodibility, things like that. It also looks at management factors. So what is the nutrient and pest management regimes that producer is following? What are they doing for drainage, irrigation, tillage? How are they managing all their different factors that they have control over? And then it looks at conservation practices. So these are things that would sort of lessen their risk, things like filter strips and grass waterways and sediment basins. You work through that with a trained certifier, and that is sort of your conservation plan. That is an appendix to the contract, and allows sort of that certifier to identify areas that potential problem areas or potential risky cropping scenarios that they can then identify solutions for. We've put the assessment tool online. We've tried to daylight the process, the mathematical models behind it. We put it online, and it's open for producers to look at. We feel pretty user-friendly, and we'll provide a link for any interested audience members who'd like to take a closer look. I did mention that we look at every parcel, and so one thing we've integrated into the online tool is the ability to sort of select a field, and then a lot of those physical factors like slope, hydrologic soil group, erodibility are sort of automatically queried and populated in the assessment. Another screenshot from the assessment tool, this one for nutrient management. So what it's looking at is what are the sort of existing practices or plan practices that the producer will be doing compared to a set of BMPs. So we have in Minnesota nitrogen BMPs looking at the four R's. So we have nitrogen application rate, timing, source, and placement. And so those are highlighted in a document, in a table. They're done by regions to reflect sort of the different agroecosystems. And it's saying, what do you plan to do on this field, or what are you doing on this field compared to those sets? And then you get a risk management score. The assessment tool has, there's opportunities and challenges in the assessment tool. I think that the opportunities certainly outweigh the challenges. A few of those advantages is that it's sort of communicating, it's an educational opportunity, sort of communicating all the different factors that are important in water quality management. So when a producer is sitting down with the certifier going through this, they can see, okay, this, you know, what I'm doing for my nutrient management matters, what my soil organic matter levels are matters, and how they interrelate is important. It sort of brings to the surface those practices or years or specific fields that need additional fixes. And in its simplicity, it's sort of communicating that, you know, these are the things that I can control that impact water quality on my operation. The fact that it also is a unitless index that allows comparisons across different landscapes and management scenarios. So you can sort of compare apples to apples, a farm in the Red River Valley to one in the Blufflands of the Southeast. It facilitates planning and highlights the risky practices. So we went over that, but I think it sort of guides that certifier, guides that conservation professional to go through their operation and to sort of lean on a tool that is going to bring issues to light. It's also simple and flexible. So one of the things that we hear a lot from the people that are in the fields working with producers is that the more FaceTime with the producer, the more work out in the field, and the less paperwork, the greater their efficacy. So we want to keep it simple, we want to keep it flexible, and we want to have the details that are necessary to really gauge one's risk for water quality is all in one tool, and those are working against each other at times. The flexibility is important in that there's sort of more than one way to get a greater score. If there's a certain nutrient management regime that the farmer is doing, maybe they're applying greater than the U of M recommendations or the best management practices, well, they can, if, if they can do that and that particular soil type supports that, maybe there's things they can do with tillage or with structural practices that would offset that risk. So it's sort of, rather than tight regulation, the ability to take each parcel and all of its management and physical factors and derive prescriptions. The challenges with the index are largely the same. So it's comprised of value statements. It's the way we run it in Minnesota is we have we do an annual review with a technical committee. We sort of get the best, we get experts together, subject matter experts together, and say, okay, here's the data, which I'll talk about in a little bit more. But here's the data, here's what we're seeing, here's the best available science. Now, how do we integrate that into this index? So the inclusion of tillage, the inclusion of the four R's of nutrient management, how they're weighted and then how they're scored and how they sort of equate to that index score is done by a group of people sitting around a table. So there's obvious challenges in that. Another challenge is the risk of sort of oversimplifying the complex system. So you're taking everything that could impact that and you're deriving it down to one index number. Again, we feel like the benefits outweigh that in its ability to sort of communicate and educate a producer about different risks of their practice and their physical factors. And then the challenge is balancing detail with efficiency. So we have great predictive models. We have Russell 2, we have SWOT, we have all those great predictive models for water quality. They are data intensive, labor intensive, and so what can we do to sort of bring the issues to light without having to run Russell 2 on every parcel, every cropping scenario with a producer? The lessons that we've learned from running this program, we're now statewide. We've been running for about 2 years. Lessons learned sort of surrounding the assessment tool are the following. So we keep it simple, allow certifiers field time and producer interaction. These folks know the landscape, they know the area, they know the producers, and giving them more time to interact, to sell conservation is very important in designing the assessment tool. Base the parameter inclusion, scoring, and weighting on the best available science. Okay, so we want to be able to, we know we have tools, we know it works. Can we rely upon what we know, what practices we know reduce the risk of water quality, and can we integrate them into an index? The third one empowers certifiers to make determinations. So what we do is we have a certifier sort of centric program. So we know that we allow them to sort of lean on the assessment tool when necessary. But we also realize that the assessment tool is part of a conservation planning exercise, that it's not going to necessarily pick up things like, you know, gully erosion. So we integrate other steps like, you know, walking the fields into that certification process. We have to sync our users. So we want to develop a sort of a rapid-fire method of getting out new information and disseminating sort of the interpretation. So we want to sync all of our certifiers. We have conservation professionals in 8 different regions across the state, and we want them all sort of delivering the programs the same. The way we've sort of done that is we have, you know, annual trainings. We deliver these bulletins, which sort of, as issues arrive with the assessment tool, give guidance as to how to make those interpretations. We also want to annually do a periodic review. So this includes providing some methodology, providing some tools that the technical group, so this is the group sitting around the table of subject matter experts, we want to provide them some tools like sensitivity analysis, literature review, data visualization practices that sort of allow them to make changes to update the assessment tool so it's, you know, reflecting the best available science. We've done that in cooperation with some third-party engineers and modelers. I think it's most useful in some of the sensitivity analysis and visualization outputs we've gotten from that. The sensitivity analysis is really basic, but what it does is it takes sort of the previous year's data and it looks at how they are impacting, how answering those questions, those parameters, populating those parameters in the model are impacting that index score. So we look at 16 different parameters here. And down on the x-axis, you can see how that's impacting the score, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10. So we can see that conservation practices, drainage, pest management, tillage, those things are most influential. Those are changing the score, you know, plus or minus 1 to 2 points. So is that correct? Are those parameters actually most impactful, and are we scoring those correctly? Conversely, if we're having if we're in an area where nutrient management is more important, are fertilizer timing, source, and placement, are those parameters scored correctly, or do we have to increase the weighting in our index? The other piece we have is just sort of distribution curves. So we can look at the specific parameters in the index, like conservation practice adjustment. So this is a little background. You go through the tool, answering the different questions, comparing what you're going to do or what you plan to do versus, you know, a best management practice. Conservation practices come at the end and sort of adjust the score up or down depending upon their impact on water quality risk. So what we can see here is on the x-axis sort of what the score was before they answered that particular parameter and what it was after on the y-axis. So we can see, our technical experts can visualize, okay, this is impacting the score, and is that correct? Do we want to be incentivizing conservation practices, and if so, you know, how influential are they in our risk assessment? So we have those tools. The last thing we're doing is recording the progress and collecting lots of data. So we have all the sort of assessment runs from all the participants. Right now we have 70 plus farmers, 39,000 plus acres of data of certified producers, an additional another 200 plus producers working through. So we have a lot of data. How do we manage that? And how can we sort of, because this is a public program, record our progress and be transparent and prove our efficacy? So those are the lessons learned. Again, you can check out more information about the assessment tool right there, or feel free to call us. Contact myself. I'm the research and assessment coordinator. based out of St. Paul. Any questions about our program or the assessment tool? Yes, sir.
How does this? How does your tool here fit in with Governor Dayton's 50-foot buffer proposal on public waterways? And is this tool going to be used to help farmers meet those criteria going forward?
That's a good question. So the assessment tool directly does has things like filter strips, buffer strips in them. So that is recognized as, you know, impacting the risk on water quality. So we have those filter strips would increase your score if they're applied thoroughly and to the specs of the field. So that's integrated in the tool. Producers who go through certification and get sign the contract for the 10 years of regulatory certainty, they would also be deemed in compliance with any new laws like the buffer laws. So we had producers before July 1st who went through the process where a certifier walked the buffers, make sure they were adequate, use the NRCS tools, make sure that they're designed correctly, and they have that regulatory certainty for a period of 10 years.
So if a producer's already been pre-approved here and their buffers on their waterways that go through their property are 30 feet wide, they wouldn't have to make those 30-foot buffers 50 feet?
That's correct. Yep. Okay. And knowing that they worked with a conservation professional who has verified that that 30-foot works, you know, for that particular field. We have about 10%, maybe 5 or 10%, this is just anecdotally, who are focused on the regulatory certainty. Most people are interested in the program. They sort of fall into three camps. There's the people who are ag leaders and like that the program sort of allows them to communicate that, hey, we care about water quality and we're doing it in our operation. I think the other camp is interested in another care, which is the funding. So it's dedicated state and federal funds to sort of install things like grass waterways. And then I think that they're also in, it's a growing group that is interested in sort of the branding of certification. So we have people who, you know, they direct market meat or something like that, and on their website or their materials, they're putting that logo. And that's important to them. They're selling directly to consumers. It's a sign that they're managing for water quality.
One more and then we'll talk. Do you monitor nutrient runoff from these fields with soil tests or water samplers to determine if the management is actually working, or is it just that they're in compliance based on the number of management practices that they put on the farm?
Yeah, we do not measure runoff on these farms. It's a risk assessment, so it's looking at how many practices you have that, what technology, what best science are you putting on your operations to reduce the risk. There's no correlation between a number 8 and, you know, parts per million or anything like that. What we try to do in our annual review is look at all the tools that we have. So one tool we have in Minnesota is Discovery Farms Network, which does do that. They have edge of field monitoring on 9 or 10 working farms. And as we collect more data, we'll be able to see if our risk assessment correlates with runoff, because you would think you're reducing your risk, you're applying the best practices and technology that that we have, water quality results should follow.
I just wanted to add one clarification. Peter was absolutely right about the fact when he answered your question about whether the program will allow people to basically validate their water quality, you know, performance to meet the public requirement. He's right, he gave the right answer. This hasn't been answered yet for him. We are still working on that, but he gave you the answer that you will get. We just haven't written it all down yet because that program is still in development, but that will be the result.
Thanks for the clarification.
Okay, thank you, Peter.